Good morning, family. Is that loud enough? No? John can adjust it. How's that? All right. God bless you. It's good to be together. I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you've assembled us here this morning as your church. We ask, Lord God, that you would bless Pastor Andrew and his wife, and Pastor Dan and Pastor Judy as they are on their sabbatical. We pray that you would enrich their experience, that you would give them rest, Lord, and anointing. And we look forward, Lord, to hear from them again and for them to join us again. We also would like to lift up Sister Shirley to you, Lord, for healing, Lord. She has broken her wrist and there's some decisions that need to be made, Lord. And I pray that you would send her comfort, that you would send her healing, and that you would strengthen her, Lord, and that you would let her know, Lord, that we are praying for her and that we are thinking of her. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, Pastor Andrew, he put up a prayer board here where we can put down any written prayers so that those that come to pray are reminded of the things that are at hand. Anything you want to put up there, feel free to do so. And I would like to give the opportunity before, as we start, if there's anything, anybody that would like to share anything, if there's a scripture that stood out for you this week, if there is something that the Lord spoke to you that you would like to share, if there is a healing that God did or started, anybody, just go ahead and give us a little testimony of things that God did in your life this week. Anybody's free to share. Go ahead.
About 6 months ago, I've been struggling financially. My family's health as well, but mostly the financial burden was very overwhelming. After a lot of prayer and a lot of searching, I found the answer to nullify the pain. It's in your hands, and you did it. And right now, we got virtually, other than a small curve, virtually all of our debt. Thank you, Lord.
Wow, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And so it was very interesting because I kind of did struggle with that one. And spend the gas money. I don't drive $5 on spring. And so right away he thought, he should have to drive it. But the Lord provided and the sun set and the nation and everyone goes. So God is just so good.
Amen.
All of you but don't be afraid to give to God because he will. You can't help him. You'll never help him.
Anybody else? I want to start this morning by going back to some of the basics of our salvation. The writers of the New Testament, they often exhort and remind us of what it means to be saved and the way that we go forward. And so it's always good for us to be reminded of those things that keep us alive. We get saved when we believe the gospel. The word gospel means good news or glad tidings. And the gospel message, of course, is a large topic. It consists of the virgin birth of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, the death and the resurrection for our justification, and the new life that we have in him. So the Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So you believe these things, God saves you. When you truly believe, it means that you recognize your need for a Savior and that you need to repent of your sins. And we that are saved have all done these things and understood these things. And when we get saved, there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of things that we cannot see. A lot of things that we can't immediately realize. But they happen nonetheless because the Scripture says that they do. And Jesus says that the Scripture cannot be broken. So one of those things that happens when we get saved is that Jesus comes to live in us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you." And to abide means to live in the way that you would live in a house, to make your home inside. And so although God is omnipresent, he is everywhere, the place where he likes to live, the place where he likes to make his home, is in the believer, in the body of Christ, which body we are. And so this is very important for us, because now we have a new and living covenant. We don't live under the Old Testament anymore. We have a new and living covenant that is sealed with the blood of Jesus. And God said in Hebrews 13 and verse 5 that he would never leave us or forsake us. This gives us total assurance of salvation, and it helps us understand that it is by the grace of God. We did not do anything to earn it. It was by grace. We were presented with the gospel message, the faith that God gave us, connected, and we believed that these things are so, and those changes happened in us to give us a new life. In the Old Testament, things were a lot more difficult. God numerous times says, "If you forsake me, I will forsake you." In the New Testament, it is not like that. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. And so, in this New Testament age, our salvation is based on believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and not based on our behavior. Our behavior shows us whether we love God or not, but it is not a factor in our salvation. Jesus is the Savior, not our behavior. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. As long as we believe, God is in us to work that out. Whether you do bad or good, God is inside, convincing you, pleading with you, bringing you to repentance. God does not turn away himself from us. If we go astray, God is still inside, working, molding, convincing, softening, pleading with us to turn us around. Ephesians 1:13 says, after that we believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So once you're saved, you're sealed so that all these things that you believe will contain. So that when you're totally convinced and believe, it isn't something that now tomorrow you're totally the other way where you don't believe anything at all. And then again, so once you're saved, you don't have to become saved again. It's a one-time thing. There's nowhere where it says you have to become saved over and over again. We can go astray, but know that the prayers of the saints and the pleading of God within will bring us back to repentance. Another reason why it is so important to have God dwell in you is in regard to prayer. Because when we come before the Lord to pray, we don't need to summon him, we don't need to wake him up, we don't have to wait upon him. At any time, at any place you are, in any condition that you are, you can call upon the name of the Lord and make your request known before him. And he's always there to hear us. It says that God is always awake, listening with us. He's ever with us. But with the unbeliever, it's not so. Their prayers are an abomination to the Lord. I like to talk to people about Jesus, and I often confront people just to see if they're saved or not, and I do this wherever I go. And a lot of time I run into somebody, and they say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in Jesus, but I do believe that there is a God, and I pray every day. You know that those prayers are an abomination to God. It is only through Christ that you can be saved, and all those prayers are an abomination to God, Proverbs 28, verse 9. The only thing that God is listening for in an unbeliever is a cry of repentance, a call on his name. That's the only thing he wants to hear out of that unbeliever. For that person to call upon the name of the Lord and to repent of their sins. And so, before that person is saved, with our prayers, God can still work from the outside to bring that person to repentance. All of us heard the gospel message. God had a hand in that before we were saved. And so we have to realize that the people that we speak to, God is already working and setting up that meeting beforehand to soften them, to cause them to believe. So God, he invites us to pray. Jesus encouraged his disciples to pray. And the word prayer means supplication. To beg humbly and earnestly. That's what supplication means. And the other word for prayer is to intercede. And interceding means that we can ask or plead with God for a favor for someone else. There's no form or formula to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer where God acknowledges the Father, and then he continues to pray in praise and worship. And Jesus did a lot of teaching on prayer, and he led by example. Jesus warned us not to use vain repetitions or to boast of our praying or needing an audience. When I was a little boy, I grew up in a church, and to stay saved, they told me I had to repent of my sins, and they explained kind of what that was, and so I had been bad to the neighbor's boy, so I confessed that. And then they told me, pray 50 Lord's Prayers. So I did. Then somewhere around 30, I lost count. I had to start over again. But really, God does not like those kind of prayers. That vain repetition, even the Lord's Prayer, to just pray it 50 times, there's little good that does. God wants us to pray from the heart, because that's where he lives. He wants us to let the Holy Spirit flow through you to bring the words out. And as you practice in prayer, you'll feel that more and more. You'll feel the need to pray. You'll feel those words come out. You'll know what to pray for. God will bring others to mind to pray for, and you can intercede, and your prayers will be effective as you let the Holy Spirit move through you to pray. So Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And in Romans 12:20, Paul writes, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And it never used to make sense to me, because I thought, if he's an enemy, he needs to get saved. And I'm reaping coals of fire on his head. How's that gonna come together? You know what I mean? Like, I don't wanna make things worse for him. He's already not saved. I started to understand that coals of fire in the scripture, they always relate to the provision of God, as in supplying heat, supplying food. It's a cleansing judgment. It is never associated with hell. So when you pray for a person that's done you wrong, when you pray for an adversary, an enemy, a neighbor you can't get along with, a person at work that antagonizes you, you start praying for that person. You start meeting that person's need. You start helping that person. God will bring coals of fire on his head. He'll start working in that person's thoughts. He'll start changing that person's intentions and bring that person around. You know, the fire changes the nature of a thing. And when we pray for people that way, that are our enemy, can God not bring that around? Can God not intervene in those intentions of that person and in the thoughts of that person? The Bible says God is a consuming fire. He can deal with all that. The battle is the Lord's. We don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to drag him to court. We can pray and expect great, great changes. The Bible says pray without ceasing. It means that we are in a continually, prayerfully state, looking for opportunity to do good and looking for people or situations that need prayer. So that when we go to pray to the Lord, and you can do that anywhere, anytime, you know what to pray for. Paul exhorts us to pray for spiritual gifts so that we can serve God and serve the church in a more effective way. Do not wait for circumstance to dictate your prayer. Let the Holy Spirit teach you. Often we wait for something comes apart in your life and now it's time to pray. God wants us to get ahead of this thing, to be prepared. Not only for ourselves, but also for others. There's a lot going on. So in the scripture, the first person that's recorded in the scripture as praying, I'm sure there was lots before that, but the first person that the Bible records of praying was Abraham when he interceded for King Abimelech. The second person was Moses when he interceded for the nation of Israel. And the third person that the Bible records as praying is Hannah. And I thought it'd be another prophet or whatever. It wasn't. It was just a humble little woman that was married to a man that had two wives, and the other wife had sons and daughters, and she couldn't bear children. And so she came before the Lord one day in the bitterness of her soul, grieving in her heart, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And Eli the priest said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant thy petition. So she left with full assurance that that prayer was going to be answered. And she was sad no more, the Bible says. And so she bore a son and named him Samuel. Great man of God, a prophet. Samuel was the one that anointed David king over Israel. Samuel is often mentioned in the Bible with Moses. And he's mentioned in the New Testament as well. Great man of faith. And all that started with a humble little woman that prayed unto God for a child. And look what came out of that. Do you think God cannot answer our humble little prayers and do mighty things that change the world? We know that God hears our prayers. David says if the prayers are from a sorrowful heart, if they're from a repentant heart, if we're destitute, desperate, humble, God hears those prayers. He's ready to act on those things. We are just not given a timeline on how quick God will do that. So David prayed with those strong emotions as well, but he also prayed with thanksgiving. He prayed joyfully. There was times where he prayed out of praise and worship, and his prayers were answered. Daniel kneeled 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. Doesn't matter where you are with God this morning or in what frame of mind, God wants to hear from you. If you want to take a moment right now and think of the prayer that you would want God to answer most of all, that one thing, that if you could ask God one thing that he could do for you. The altars are open. If you want to come and pray that prayer, let's see what God can do for us. If you need healing, if you need something fixed in your life, if you have a job situation, if you are hurting, if God needs to bless your finances or any situation, we will pray with you. To anybody who wants to come forward and receive prayer, there's others that will pray with you. We will pray with you. For those that don't...